everybody. We're going to get started now. Leader, let's take away these names.
So now she's got
So my name is Charles Cobbin. I'm with the Anne Arundel County Department of Public Works. And this is the South River Farm Park Master Plan Public Meeting. First of all, I want to thank you all for taking time out of your day to express your interest in the project and to learn more about it. So, before we get started, I want to go over some important meeting information. Tonight's meeting is being audio recorded. We also ask that all questions be held to the end of the meeting. We will have a question and answer period after the presentation is completed. Also, there are sign-in sheets available at the front. We ask that everyone here please sign in. There are also comment cards available for you to record any concerns that come up later or you don't feel comfortable bringing up here in the meeting. So our agenda for tonight, first we're going to go through introductions, then we'll touch on the meeting purpose here. We'll also give a little bit of a background of what is a master plan and the process of what that is. Then we'll get into the actual site, we'll go over the existing conditions, and then we'll go through the development process that we've done to get to this draft master plan. And then after that, we'll open it up to Q&A. So, introductions. Like I said before, my name is Charles Cotterman. I'm project manager with the Anne Arundel County Department of Public Works. Presenting here tonight as well is Mr. Bruce Crucci with Department of Rec and Parks, Chief of Planning and Construction. And also we have our friend from our design engineer at AECOM, Ms. Claire Sales, who's project manager. Alright, meeting purpose. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to give a little bit of a background of the planning effort, everything that goes into our planning process for the county projects. Then we'll also get into do a lot about the actual site, the existing conditions, the analysis that was done, and how we got to through our process to get to the draft master plan. All right, now I'll hand it off to Bruce to go over the.
Thanks, Charles. And let me start off by echoing what Charles said when he began. Thank you all very much for taking time out of your evening to be here with us. Important to our department, it's important to the county, and I'm glad to see it's important to your communities as well. So we're talking about a master plan, and I just wanted to quickly review what a master plan is and why we do master plan for park facilities. Master plans include an assessment of current needs and what the future needs might be. Master plans allow us to develop strategic action plans so we know how, in this case, South River Farm is going to develop, or things that are going to change, or things that are going to disappear from the park. And it helps us to provide a budget for long-term improvements. The master plan really is the long-term vision for the park. And what we've been doing is working with the stakeholder advisory group to determine what amenities are appropriate in the park, what amenities the communities want to see and who use in the park, what kinds of programming the Department of Recreation and Parks will offer in the park in the future. And we always come down to parking because people come to visit our parks, they need to park somewhere. The reason we do a stakeholder advisory group is because we value the community's input. We need that to create a balanced recreation park system. The 591,000 people that live in Anne Arundel County are lucky. You all are part of that. You own over 160 named parks. They're spread all over the county. You all have an interest in every one of them. You have more of an interest in the ones that are closest to you, where you live, work, or play, and the ones that can impact you the most. So we have to balance between meeting the countywide needs for park and recreation facilities with the needs of the individual communities. Now, the last statement on the bottom of this slide is something I want everybody to something. Somebody wanted a Ferris wheel, somebody wanted a pickleball court. I don't know what it is, but somebody's going to want something that won't be accommodated in the master plan. Our goal is to try and solicit and include in the master plan the most things that are wanted by the most people and that benefit our entire recreation park system. Talk about the master plan process, and I need the pointer, excuse me.
I see.
I wanted to talk about this is the Department of Recreation and Parks Project Development Plan. This is the process that we go through on our projects, starting with when a project is conceptualized. Maybe the county buys a piece of land, maybe somebody says, hey, that'd be a good place for a park over there. Maybe it was identified in our five-year LPDRP, Land Preservation and Parks and Recreation Plan, as being needed. Projects begin over here, where we select the location, we start talking about what the facility would be. Then we go into the master plan process, develop major park elements with stakeholder group, and present the master plan to the public for feedback. This is where we are right now. This master plan has been developed by the planning team, guided by input from the stakeholder advisory group, and we now have a draft of the master plan, and so we want to hear more voices about what's included in that plan, and that's when tonight starts, that process. Here is the draft master plan. We want to hear your voices before the planning team wraps it up. The project will kind of come to a hold here because this is where we have to go to county council and ask for their authorization to proceed with the project, and more importantly than their authorization is they have to fund it. So that would be the next step in this project, would be to go to council next year, get budget appropriation to proceed with the conceptual design, final design, all the way through construction bidding and construction award. And I'm going to highlight that tonight is the public meeting for the master plan, but there's also public meetings that occur during the design phase and before any actual construction would start. So this is a number of opportunities for the public to participate. The process specifically for master plan, I mentioned our stakeholder group, and I'll list these people, list these organizations here. Extremely valuable in developing this plan. These people provided their suggestions. We started on January morning in this very room with a couple of boards set up along the back wall there with pictures of the existing park and map of the existing facilities, and started talking about what was in South River Farm Park and what we wanted to do. So we thank the stakeholders who represented the neighbors of the Mayo Peninsula, Arundel Rivers Federation, the county's Recreation Advisory Board, the Mayo Civic Association, and the Lock Haven Civic Association. So we started out knowing that we needed to update the master plan for South River Farm Park. The use is changing as our southern maintenance operation moves over to the Mayo WRF facility. We had to take the pier that was at South River Farm Park out of service because it was in poor condition. And so before we started just putting the pier back where it was and backfilling behind the maintenance operations, we wanted to think, what else could we possibly do at South River Farm Park? What do we need to do? So we established a stakeholder group, brought them together, and we listened first to what they thought the park needed, what they saw as problems, what they saw as opportunities. We discussed the limitations that are present at the park now. Karen Jarbo, the superintendent of Mayo Area Parks, couldn't be with us this evening, but her input into what her staff and she observed in terms of use of the park and where people go in the park. invaluable in this process. The master plan process analyzed all those needs and preferences and developed a prioritized plan. The planning team went away for a couple of weeks and developed a couple of different concepts. And can I just see a show of hands? Has anyone looked at those concepts? They've been on our website since February. It's, oh, great. Thank you. That's very important. So we shared all those with the stakeholder group and asked them to walk through each of the elements in each of those different concepts. And we used one of the meetings with the stakeholder advisory group to analyze each of those concepts and say, well, what do they like about concept A or concept B or whatever. And then this was our first stakeholder meeting, that was our second stakeholder meeting, and then for the third stakeholder meeting, the planning team revised those multiple concepts and melded them into a unified master plan that incorporated, if you will, the best of the best. As I said a minute ago, incorporate the most things from the most people. The process, where we are tonight, draft master plan, submit for public review and comment, public meeting or online. For this project, it's both. We're going to try and have it done tomorrow if information technology can accomplish it. But this presentation and the slides that you're seeing this evening will be posted on the Department of Recreation and Parks website, if not tomorrow, certainly by Monday, along with an audio recording of tonight's meeting. So that I encourage everyone, some of these pictures are going to look seem small when they're up here on the screen and you're sitting out here. I encourage you to go look at the presentation, enlarge the slides, and more importantly, online, we've created a separate email address, south-river-farm-park-plan@aacounty.org. If you go to the Recreation and Parks webpage, it's very easy to be highlighted right on there. It's specifically to provide input to the South River Farm Park planning process. And so we're going to take all after a month that we will open that email box this weekend, and we will wait until almost the 1st of August before we stop receiving comments, and then we will sit down with the planning team and read through all of those comments to develop, to revise and finalize that master plan. When that final master plan is complete, we'll send an announcement out and we'll post that also on the website so you'll be able to see the results of this process. And then we're waiting for capital funding for implementation. When, as I said, with the bibliographic, we go through detailed design, engineering, and construction. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Claire, who headed the planning team from AECOM, and I'll let her walk you through the true important part of the master plan.
Thank you. Can you all hear me okay? Okay. I'm going to stand here at the corner, so I'm not blocking anybody's view, but pulling if you just, you know, wave me. Okay. So the first part of our analysis was we looked at existing conditions. So what are the conditions at the site? So as part of that, we took a site visit to see what things look like in terms of verifying landscape built features, the condition of buildings and structures. We also looked at the data for the area. So we looked at the natural resource plans, the existing planning documents, the 2018 master plan for the site. We looked at the trail visitor facilities that were documented. And we put all of that together and identified the existing recreation features of visitor use. So not just what the physical on the ground situation is, but also how people use the site. We looked at the existing building condition. We also looked at what the regulatory context is. So what are the rules and regulations we need to keep in mind as we plan? What the natural features are and the topography of the site. So are there natural resources that we should consider as we move on with the plan? So as part of this, that everybody has a baseline understanding of what's at the site. There are 5 miles of natural surface trails. There's a picnic area. There are various locations that are popular for fishing. There's also water access at various points around the park, and there are educational programs that are operated during, especially during the summer, as camps. In terms of visitor use, the visitors are primarily from the adjacent community, although on the weekend there is a broader number of people that are basically the draw is from a broader geographic area, and then weekends and summers are the peak user periods. So in terms of existing conditions, this is just kind of a layout, and I apologize if it's maybe a little hard to read, but we do want to focus on the natural areas here where you can see the areas that are blue are wetlands. The areas that are striped or have a little hatch here, those are both floodplain areas. So those are locations that we typically wanted to stay away from. And this also documents the existing facilities in terms of the picnic area that exists, the existing barn, the trailer, and the greenhouse. So this cluster of maintenance facilities that are currently at the sites. We also looked at what the other recreation opportunities are in the Mayo Peninsula in an effort not to duplicate exactly what is somewhere else. So as part of this, we noted that there is Lock Haven Park, Mayo Beach Park, currently the Tri-Food Nature Center, as well as Carr's Wharf provides access. The Mayo Reclamation Facility Park and the Future Park, and then the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center. We recognize that that's not current, it's not a park exactly, but it does have some access that is available to people for trails, etc., that can be accessible to the public. So in terms of existing conditions, there is a 2-story barn at the site, a single-story greenhouse, as well as 2 trailers in a fairly large parking lot. And this is essentially the existing structure on the site. And one of the reasons why we're putting this plan together is because those maintenance operations will be moved off-site. But more on that side. So in terms of the existing conditions, there are easements on the site. However, they are primarily associated with the program open space, and that requires the park to continue to use for park and park use. But there are existing residential areas surrounding the park. In terms of education, the park has some central open space at the entry along Scrivener's Lane, but then the rest of it is primarily forested area. And again, in terms of water resources, there are locations of wetlands primarily along the edge and kind of in this inlet area up here, as well as floodplains, which again are along the shoreline and going into the park slightly and near the entrance. And then we also look at the Chesapeake Bay critical areas and the forest habitat. So to get a sense of, again, what the regulatory requirements are and the forest habitat to look at what kind of species to be living there in terms of birds, especially birds. And so then again, this shows that with the exception of that central open space area, it is primarily wooded and has a lot of area that provide habitat. And then finally, in terms of topography, the area to the northern portion of the park and along this eastern portion here, those are areas that have steeper slopes than the rest of the park. There's not a lot of hills, but there is a little bit at those areas. So as we mentioned, the park, it has areas that are on both sides of Scrivener's Lane, which is kind of the entrance here. And for the purposes of this effort, we are looking primarily in the area that is colored. So the area to the east of Scrivener's Lane. So the area to the west of Scrivener's Lane, the idea is to keep that a continue to keep that as a natural area that doesn't have, is not really open to recreation or doesn't have any amenities there. So we asked people what the existing park uses are. So people said they walk, they hike, they walk their dogs, they have a picnic at the site, people fish or go crabbing, they look at wildlife and observe nature, enjoy the nature. People fly kites or drones, especially in that open area, and then also practice photography. And those are sort of what people can do on their own as individual or unorganized activities. In terms of organized activities, there are also ROTC training, there are environmental restoration projects, there are projects associated with Boy Scout activities that occur at the site, and then there are also summer camp programs that are run at the site. So in terms of uses at the park, what the challenges are, we asked people, and the responses that we received were that there's limited parking at the site, so that's just raised. People also noted that there was unregulated physical access occurring at the northern portion of the park. People noted that there was a lack of restroom facilities or drinking water that was available at the site, because currently there are only temporary restrooms. At maintenance, people noted that there was a lack of trash and recycling pickup, and then also that there was a need for life cycle planning. So basically to encourage the ongoing maintenance of facilities that are at the park. People also noted that there was a lack of staff available at the park and that there are restrictions on programming or other activities. And then finally, that there's a lack of integration into the neighborhood associated with the park.
What does that mean?
Which part?
Lack of integration in the neighborhood.
I think the idea of what the connections were to the neighborhood, to the park. Does that make sense? Pardon? You don't know the map. No, I meant the connections of how people can access the park. Sorry, So in terms of the master plan development, we developed some guidelines and principles, and basically the overall guidance for the park and master plan that we heard from stakeholders was to take a light on the land approach. So as a part of that, but while still offering connections to visitors to the park so that they can connect to nature. So that includes providing more formal access to water as part of the park, and also expanding the use of water from the park and within the park. So we wanted to maintain the undisturbed character of, again, that natural area that's to the western portion of the park. People also wanted to limit the environmental impact, and that includes, for instance, not using impervious pavement as part of the improvements, and then to improve accessibility throughout the park. So we also looked at the master plan development from 2018, and this has some of the same features we included before, but it also had a more recreation focus, I would say. It had hiker paved trail, there were two pavilions and restrooms facilities, there was a fishing pier, volleyball court, as well as office and outdoor showers. People included a tot lot, which is like a playground for kids, included picnic areas, a wading beach, formalized pedestrian ramps to the shoreline, portable restrooms and a rent station, dog beach. The plan included a kayak new boat launch. It called for the existing trails to be maintained, improved entrance road with the gate, and included parking for 210 vehicles. And here's a map of it. And you can see here the most of the area was more intensely developed was along the center area, and then also called for an improvements to beach access in this we developed some concepts, and so we had two different concepts we outlined and presented to stakeholders initially. And how we did this was we kind of looked at some, I guess, the extremes that they had various levels of development, and the idea here was to kind of mix and match. We wanted people to tell us what they liked about specific elements, or what they did not like about other elements, and see how we could combine those into a master plan concept. So here, under concept A, which we refer to as targeted opportunities, this required more specific intervention and was a little smaller in scale, maybe in terms of thinking about how to use the space. So as part of this, it included a new trail entrance, which we created a loop, a new pavilion, a new kayak launch. And I say kayak launch, I mean kayak, canoe, personal, non-motorized watercraft, however, whatever terminology you want to use. I'm just using commercial when I say kayak launch. Kayak launch would be here at Brick House Creek. It also included a group camping location on the northern portion of the park. The concept B, which involved what we refer to as wider experiences, offered some of the same options, and I will actually note that also under concept A, targeted opportunities, the parking, overflow parking area at the entrance was removed. Under concept B, where we have wider experiences, it's a little more. So as part of this, it also includes a new trail location at the entrance, a new pavilion, a rehabilitated greenhouse, as well as a camping area, but it also called for an education center and a numerous fishing piers located throughout the conservation piers located along the shoreline. And it also, the kayak launch was further on the southern and not on the Great Falls Creek.
Did you say numerous fishing piers?
Three. Thank you. So, this is kind of a rough outline. And so, then in terms of the stakeholder feedback that we heard, we heard that people liked the new trail along the wooded edge. People liked the idea of a new pavilion. Or one key to picnic uses. We also included, and I apologize for not mentioning this, in this option B, a nature play facility, which is sort of like a playground, but it includes more natural features like a small hill that kids can run up, or includes things that are made out of natural materials, people also indicated that they liked the idea of fishing piers. We included a new pollinator meadow in both concepts that stakeholders indicated that they liked. We included the revegetation of the maintenance area of Long Point, and people liked the location of the kayak launch at Brick House Creek, because the idea being that it was easier to access and would not be in conflict with the erosion control measures that would go on the southern portion of the site. And then people liked the new part of reconfiguration, which I will get to in a minute. Yes? The comment about the revegetation of Long Point is an ongoing project that would improve the Long Point revegetation, and there is an individual here who can speak to that, perhaps in more detail.
The slide before that said something about a fishing pier on Brick House Creek as well.
Yes, I will get to a little more thorough explanation of that in a minute.
And just a reminder, we are going to do a Q&A at the end of this presentation, so once we get through,
so the concerns that we heard were the kayak launch itself being gay, again, as I mentioned, in terms of shoreline, people did not want to see paved asphalt trails, and there was concern about camping at the site, the camping area, specifically in terms of fire hazard. People also said that they liked the idea of having, or there was mixed would bring a large number of people to the park that would not otherwise come, just in terms of capacity. People were interested in having restrooms, but the siting of that sort of depends on what the education center would be. And then the culture of Long Point. And when I say that there are some informal trails there currently, and the idea, the question was whether or not to keep those open to visitors on an informal basis. That seems in conflict with having a rehabilitated Long Point. So in terms of the master plan concept, I'll do a more thorough walking you through the concept of this time. So in terms of the site, we have the entrance here along Scrivener's Lane. We removed the existing overflow parking that is here now and relocated it further inside the primary portion of the site. We have added a new trail that strips along the edge of the forested area, sort of where the interface is with the open space. And the intent here is to provide a loop opportunity so that people do not have to walk along Scrivener's Lane to get back to access the trails. We have included the kayak launch at Brick House Creek, as well as fishing piers. And there are fishing pier at this location and along the eastern shore or shoreline of the park. The group camping is also located along the northern portion of the site. And as part of this, we improved the accessibility of these locations. So the idea would be that there would be an accessible route that would offer for the kayak launch and fishing pier here, as well as a path to the fishing pier along this eastern portion of the park. There's also a wildlife viewing platform that's in this interior water location of the park. And the idea here is that while people may not necessarily fish at the site, they can see wildlife and just be on the water. So in this more compact central area, here we have the existing parking would be expanded to meet the needs of what we would anticipate for the number of trails, an education center, and the kayak location here. We also have included an overflow parking area. This would be primarily turf that would be reinforced that would allow parking as needed on busy days. The concept here includes a pavilion. So this would be an outdoor shelter area that programs could occur outside, as well as when those are not occurring, people can use it to shelter from the sun or the rain as needed. Again, we have included this nature play area, as well as a pollinator meadow garden that would be would re-vegetate some of the existing open space here. The idea being that it would provide habitat, as well as opportunities for people to come and look at pretty flowers, to be honest, as well as the animals that would use that area, as well as sort of an ecological function. We have included an education center. The idea here is that an education center would offer the opportunity for school groups in a room or two to learn about nature and the ecology of the community and of the park. And as part of that, there would also be some parking that would be associated with that. We have also included bus parking here, so that way when a school group came, the bus could park easily without conflict of other vehicles, hopefully. And as part of that, there would also be a bus turnaround, again, easing the circulation patterns that would occur. The existing greenhouse here would be rehabilitated, so building on the existing greenhouse and improving it to make it more functional. I would also note that restrooms would be included as part of the education center, so those to be accessible to the public. We again have included a kayak launch down here, as well as a fishing pier, and this would be one of the two fishing piers at the location. And, so just in terms of review, the significant uses, the kayak launch near Brickhouse Creek, an education center, a nature play area, two fishing piers, and a nature observation platform. So those are kind of the activities that people could use while they're there. In terms of mobility and infrastructure, it included the expansion of the existing parking, and I am going to go back and go to answer the question that was asked in terms of revegetation of the maintenance area. I apologize for not saying that. When we talk about that, it's currently a lot of gravel as well as those buildings that are there, so there would be some areas that would be repurposed for either of that area that would include an education center or parking, but other portions of that could be open to be revegetated, probably with grass or just so that it's not a semi-paved location. In terms of the removal of existing structures, the new bus turnaround, the greenhouse, and the improved greenhouse, comfort station at the education center, removal of the entrance parking, again, that sort of informal area, overflow parking would be moved further south. And then the improved accessibility. So, as I mentioned before, there were multiple paths that would be improved, and those are these paths that are employed would be accessible. In terms of rehabilitation, that would include the erosion control measures along the shoreline, new pollinator meadow, revegetation of the maintenance area, and then the closure and rehabilitation of the lines. So, in terms of next steps, Bruce previewed these earlier, so these information will be posted online, and then you will be available and welcome public input. We would like to hear what you have to say, if there are things that we need to consider. And then we will finalize the master plan and then hold for future things. So, with that, are there questions? I see lots. Okay, so I'm going to start on this side and work around. Actually, was one of you going to answer this or do you want me to answer this?
Next to that greenhouse, is a wonderful setup that ARF is working on that will actually produce seedlings, if you will, and seeds for submerged aquatic vegetation. Those are the important marine grasses where all of the delicious crabs hide before they grow up. And so ARF is one of our conservation partners that is working hard on that, and we're proud to host the process that creates those seeds for SAVs at our park. So there's going to be a number of uses. It is self-serving, if you will, for recreation parks.
Okay. And then I guess the final question for that at the moment. The camping area is a fairly hilly, cleared off area, but would you have plans to flatten that, or,
Question about the future camping area. Again, what we need to do is make sure it stays dry, so there might need to be some leveling. When we talk about a camping area, I want to make sure that everybody understands we're not developing a KOA campground in South River Farm Park. This is a camping area for group camping. We have a number of these in our larger parks already. It's typically, think scout groups on weekends, and so we have to see how much area. We don't want to cut trees down. We need to make sure it stays dry in there. And everything in this master plan is about trying to do as little disturbance as possible. That would apply to the campground area as well.
So that would not, there wouldn't be any public camping. No individual.
We're talking about a group organized camping that would be scheduled the way we operate it now.
Convincing.
few communities.
Well, can we?
There's like seven communities.
Can we silence this side?
That's great for you. Can I ask you a question about the process? Do they do a cultural and environmental detail assessment on the park? Like Maryland Historical Trust gives detailed analysis of everything in the park right beside where that greenhouse is and the bus turnaround is going to be. It's a very unique swamp slash bog slash ecosystem that should, and one of the kayak camps is almost, it looks like very close across from that. And so will that area be super protected so that there is no impact whatsoever on that swamp that should go around that curve? Do you know what you want to talk about?
Yes, so we did, we discussed with the County Cultural Research Group about all the sensitive areas on the site and areas to avoid in this zone. So this planning process, before we had an actual concept, we found the areas where we needed to avoid any type of impact.
I just want to add to that. I'm Melanie. I was on the stakeholder advisory, and I would like to commend the staff and the team that managed us and managed our responses. I feel personally that you guys have captured and documented all of our feedback that we gave during this process, and I also feel that you have paid attention to those environmental factors and stayed in the areas where there are already where there already is development, and then limiting more disturbance to this very very rich ecological area that we have. So I do recognize that there are going to be some compromises made, and I think all of us are going to have to doubling the width of the road so that you have a two-lane road within the park is something that we talked about, and talked about surfaces and things like that. But there are going to be some compromises, but I want to commend the staff for paying attention and really listening to us on those points. Thank you.
Yes.
Only when I saw the presentation, it talked about access road to the gate. So tell me what the concept is for the gate and access.
The gate would be in front of the overflow parking area.
I believe that gated area was actually the 2018 not. We didn't discuss it being part of this as part of this concept.
You don't gate at all, just free access?
I think that's a question moving forward that would be as part of the future design.
So yeah, because if it's dawn and dusk, dawn to dusk open now, so what do you do about camping? I mean, you know, is that the dawn to dusk going to cloud or change?
So that would be an operational question that we would get to later on. Okay, I'm going to come back here and bring it up and show it back.
Me?
Yeah.
So what discussion has come to the table about safety? Safety in that park after the hour, after hours, speed limit. I mean, if you're widening that road, it's insane back there. It's insane back there after hours, even with the gate there now. There's nobody to maintain it. And honestly, I don't know what it's going to take, but it's going to probably take somebody getting murdered back there before somebody finally starts to look and listen. So developing it just like traffic on the road coming into Lock Haven, the infrastructure isn't there to be able to support it. And it's kind of just been the redheaded stepchild for 30 years. For the 30 years I've lived.
We still speak after this because I spend a lot of time in the park and I really want to know what you're talking about because I haven't seen that.
And you need to
I'd like to talk to you more, and then I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, start off with the safety is, of course, paramount. this summer where we actually get the park going.
So basically, we kind of punt on it until we got the park built and going, and then we would worry about the impact of it later on the community?
No, it would be ongoing as we design the park. Yes, Mr. Blue?
So what about all the history back with that shrine, the Skinner Park? So, my understanding, I love the idea of the girls, we're just going to take the restrooms and just go to the ground. Because the scriptures, Tony Scrivener, the son, and the original owners, tried to parcel that off and got blocked by two things. One was the septic system, how many houses you could build on. The next one was, it was found out like in the late 70s that they were bald eagles. Which if we all go back to the original issue with the bald eagles. And then that's where Anne Arundel County was offered a deal to acquire that property from the Scrivener in lieu of developing that property, provided that property stayed in perpetual care as a natural wildlife preserve. As is. So are we missing something in the deeds or the writing of that original contract? The next one I throw out there is, there's a lot of archaeological finds there. There's some very unique things. Do you guys know the reason why it's called Brick House Creek? Because someone might want to call and talk to me because Karen Jarbo doesn't do a thing. But there's a lot of archaeological things that date back, way back. I'm talking 200 years back. The locations right now, but if I did, everyone's going to grab a shovel and start digging. But I have uncovered and brought back a lot of unique finds. The holding of the western shoreline, that we don't want to develop that, we're going to put the kayak and let them just dump right into Brick House Creek. That's a no-brainer. You don't want to go in there because it's all marsh, it's heavily wooded. You could try to go into the little cove as you get closer towards the South River, but that's the same thing. That's a marsh. So you're picking the easiest path that you possibly can, thinking it's the least amount of environmental damage to the park. But we're talking about a lot going on in that area. We're talking about kayak people, fishermen, all in that one area, because they can't really access that whole western thing that you bob out. Nobody can walk there. I mean, I'm 66 years old. I've been here all my life. I know that part. I've been to Old Man Scrivener many times and had a shotgun in my basement. Lots of them. Those are some good stories, too. But if you can protect that land. But there, you know, you're lobbing that out where you're putting all the development is like, hey, that's a natural spot. This is a no-brainer. That barn's been there since the early 40s or late 30s. Because the Scrivener family, which I'll throw out there, they bought that property as a hideaway from World War II. That's why the original Scrivener family bought that property. But the development in there, for the type of land use that it is, you're talking about, on average, possibly on a Saturday or Sunday, maybe 1,000 people running through the park, and you're providing 250 parking spaces. So you're talking about a heavy use for a park that was intended as a natural wildlife preserve. So, I get it.
Well, you said 250 spaces. I think you're referring to the 210. That was on the 2018 master plan.
Okay, so where are you down to now? How many people do you think will be in the park on a Saturday or Sunday?
So we currently have an estimated 56 spaces plus 50 overflow spaces. And again, that is an estimate that could be expanded or contracted depending on.
Just interrupt you and then I'll finish up. Thank you for that info on the parking spaces. We are all talking about a besides everybody in this room.
This is the first I've ever heard anybody say anything about a wildlife reserve or anything. There's no restrictions on the county's use of this property other than those associated with the program open space. And that's the covenants that the state put on when the county purchased the property. But there's no other covenants. There's nothing that says it's dedicated for what you just said. Wildlife
reserve requires a natural wildlife reserve in lieu of building. The Scribner family wanted to build houses.
Making this area accessible for people in the county. Is this going to be consider that later. I'm not sure how you design the park now in abstract without considering how people get in and out of it, how you secure it, how you staff it, because right now, if you're going to use your current park and rec population, you're going to have to split them in half to provide coverage physically between the parks, because you're not going to have manpower in the abstract. And to say, well, we'll get to it later is like building an amusement park, but not hiring people to work it. And I know you're not planning an amusement park, but that's the objective. So I'm concerned that there's a lot of talk about preserving the environmental character. The lady said, well, we don't want to duplicate existing features. You've already got nature trails at Beverly Triton, so you're building nature trails here. You've got park pavilions at Mayo and Triton, which you're putting one up here. 20% of this peninsula is owned by you guys for park and recreation. And I'm not sure that I'm hearing a lot of coherence in how those little lights on the chain are getting developed, because there's a tremendous amount of overlap that's bringing a lot of people into the parks, into the peninsula, but not really accounting for the impact on the people who live here. You know, I'm all for giving people access to the parks. I'm a total believer that people who get into nature want to protect it. But I'm not sure that Park and Rex is really working when the community brings up concerns about speed and traffic and the lack of sidewalks and flooding. What I love to hear from you guys, what I heard in Beverly Triton, what I'm hearing now, what I pray I'm not going to hear more reclamation when we have this meeting on that part, is we'll get to those later. Because what you're doing is you are magnifying the problem with each successive development, and you're not addressing the problem. You're creating a systemic one. That's my concern. I don't necessarily have concerns with the kinds of things you're talking about here. I'm concerned about the increasing impact that each of these developments is having without addressing the underlying impact of the communities that have to live with the people that will be attracted to it.
Thanks. Let me try and answer some of that. A lot of what you're talking about is the difference between master planning process and the design process that would be the next step. We know that we want to put a soft launch, a car top launch for kayaks and canoes. And the master plan, with the input from our stakeholders, the planners looked at it and said, well, over here somewhere is probably the best place for that, taking into consideration how it relates to access from parking, how people will move around the park. So it's kind of organizing some big picture type things in the form of the master plan. When we get into the actual design, start off with, we need a more detailed topographic survey. You asked about the camping area and the elements over there. We're looking at that from an engineering perspective. We're using aerial photography for the topo now. When we start to design that soft launch somewhere along that creek, we're going to have a physical survey down of that area. We're going to know what's swampy, what's living there, what might be buried there, although we know the cultural resources so far. Those are detailed design questions. So it's not kicking it down the road. We're not going to build something and then figure it out. The process to develop that will answer those kinds of questions.
The concern I have is, from the experience with Beverly Triton, is that once something ends up in the conceptual plan, it's pretty close to stone chisel. It may move to the left or the right, but it's not coming off the map. And to say, well, you know, we're going to consider that further down the road, I found that very often what ends up in the sketch you guys are going to say is Master Plan A6 is going to be Final Plan A6.2 with minor variations. So what ends up here pretty much ends up out there. And that's the concern that I've got. I understand that what we're going to have to do, topographic, we're going to environmental, and all of that, in large measure, I've never seen that substantially change anything you guys drafted in the initial. So that's the concern about. We're going to look at it later. If you're not looking at it now, by the time you get to later, the damage is already going to be baked into the pot.
Okay. So we'll follow up what he said. What happened? happen in Beverly Beach, we don't want to see happen here.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
Beverly Beach said the same thing you're saying, and then we end up with...
That's why we're here tonight to hear that. What's objectionable?
The objection is that you guys are planning a parking abstract without considering the impact of getting to it and actually operating the mechanics of the park. You know, they talked about, we're going to create water access at Beverly Triton. The water's already there. We're going to control it. Well, the initial response of controlling it was they didn't control it. So they ended up having to put up a gatehouse and rearrange the parking and charging people because it was the only way to control the impact on the surrounding communities when people went, here's the beach, and showed up with nowhere to park. So if you're gonna do this, and again, I don't necessarily have an objection with anything you laid out here, but I ask that you back up and go, all right, so in light of what we've already got going in Beverly and Triton, and Mayo Beach, and the population that's drawing, the volume, the size, what is this going to do to that overall number? Does that mean that we have to scale some of this back? Or does it mean that, you know what, we don't really need this, but we could use this instead? You already know conceptually what you're going to do with the water reclamation facility. But do you know conceptually what that's going to do to the daily lives of the people in this community when you build three or four baseball parks that bring 35 cars every hour from Thursday at 5 until Sunday at 9? What you get is, well, we'll consider that when we go to final plan. That's the traffic study. But if you're going to build those ball fields, and you've already decided you're going to build those ball fields, you've already baked the traffic nightmare before you ever do the study. So what we're asking is, recognize that now. Because if you do, and you address these concerns now, you're going to end up with something. Everybody in this room is going to nod, yeah, this is good, we can live with this, you guys recognize our concerns, we want this. We want the county to enjoy it, we want our kids to enjoy it, we want our communities to preserve it. But what I'm hearing from you is, well, that comes up in final plan. And by then, the damage is already baked. It was already created at Beverly and Mayo and Triton, and now you're backing it up to South River, and then you're going to back it up again to water reclamation, and then you're going to back it up to the park you're building on 214 across from Safeway, and the rec facility you're going to build at the old jet. And you're magnifying this problem, but you're not addressing it until later down the road when the decisions of what it will do and what will happen are already made.
Okay? Thank you.
That should be down the road, but you're emphatically stating there's no gatehouse and there's no fee.
There is no plan as of right now to have any sort of fees when it comes to either the gatehouse or the public operation. Yes.
Have you pulled the deed for that property and have you read the last page? Because on the last page of the deed, it says there are restrictions on that property.
State regulation, you're heavily in a critical area here, and if you don't want to talk about specific design plans, let me ask it this way. In terms of the critical, what the state says, how many trees will be removed, and where will the mitigation for those tree removals occur in?
So we don't have a number for that now. Right now, at this point, it's the minimal amount of removal. As we move forward the process, communicate with MDE for the critical planning, and they actually let us. We don't.
One of the things in the critical area regulation says that any plans developed for the use of parks should recognize that all natural terrain has a finite capacity to tolerate human disturbances, and therefore should give utmost attention to limiting the number of park visitors in any park at any one time or in the course of the season. And that sounds like you would be in violation of that requirement if you're not going to take any kind of action to see how many people are coming in and using the park, or charge you a fee for admission to make sure that it complies with critical areas.
So we do have numbers back in the office of the average amount of park goers coming today and time. We don't have them here with us, but they were in consideration.
I understand going in the past, I understand, you know, I'm over there several times a week myself, so I kind of know, but with what you're planning, it's going to go up, and trails are going to be used more, and I think that's what this part of the regulation is aimed at, is making sure that you are controlling how many people are using this very special area in terms of ecosystems. It's, you know, it's amazing. It has swamp, it has marsh, it has hills and woods, and I mean, it's really an amazing place. And I would say, you know, a park that you're going to develop, this particular regulation regarding critical areas really needs to be
And that was part of my question about the trees, but I want to back up to the playground. Part of the problem is a natural tree. And I really don't know what the issue is with it, because I'm going to do that. And if you add public restrooms, you add pavilions, you add parks, I don't know how else you're going to be standard to get to that park, but it's wet most of the time. How much of your environment is used? How much of the environment, the natural environment, is going to be disturbed?
We're going to be the minimal amount of disturbance. We are
what
trying.
Is minimal? What is minimal? What's the definition of minimal?
I think part of the concern is if you talk about building a parking area that is currently generally highly porous, it retains water, and you're going to level it and make it stable, the water's got to go somewhere.
We're talking about flooding already there.
So where does the water
go?
Where
does the water go? Because you know this has been taken into consideration.
Or it doesn't appear to be, yes.
And yet, same problem in Beverly Triton that you're going to run into there.
Parking area at Beverly Triton bordered on a wetland, and so they tried to recontour it, and it didn't help, so they moved it to the other side of the road and built it up, and now the water runs into backyards and the woods on either side. So you didn't really eliminate the problem except for you. You created the problem for the people who were able to live.
Thank you for that information. At this point, we have not done the drainage analysis of this, and where we're going to, as part of the grading plans, that will come up in the actual design. So we're way back over here.
I know you're getting a lot of negative. You know, that's expect that these changes are. I think anything that you do to this special place is a compromise. But we all know that the family wants to make this water access for people. I'd say that this is so much better than what we saw in 2018. I understand that. And my preference would be for A, maybe some things like pollution, B and C, and what I am. But minimal is better from, I think, all of our perspectives here, certainly.
Can you speak up?
Yeah, I'll try to. I just expressed a preference for A as being less invasive than anything else. I appreciate what they did here as opposed to 2018, which in my opinion is just, I'm not sure there was awful. So I appreciate those changes. I have one question and then a few comments. One question is, why are you taking down the barn? Did you do an assessment of it? Could it be used for some purpose for it? Why are they taking down the barn?
I think that's probably the one feature that I want to revisit, is we talk about the nature center, we talk about the pavilion. We have not done a condition assessment. That would be, again, part of the next step. There is a barn there now. It creates some interior spaces, and part of what we're calling for in the master plan is some other interior spaces. We'd like to have an office that we can keep a ranger on site to help address the management issues that this park faces. We need an area where we can have school groups come in and get assembled and get organized. To me, that barn, if it's safe, and it's a very old structure, but if we could possibly rehab that and use that, that barn is very likely the genesis of that building that becomes the nature center again.
A couple of comments. My major concerns, I think, are twofold. One is to have no paving beyond the existing greenhouse. And I feel really strongly that that's so important, because it's how the rest of that park is accessed and used. In the accessible path, what do you envision in terms of topography changes that would be necessary for an accessible path?
Yeah, so we agree about any asphalt beyond that point, but there are many different options that the water coming out on the day for that. There's permeable pavers, minor type of grading on the road, just grading the road, maintenance of that. There's many different options.
There are a lot of hills along there. I don't see how you're going to do that at an accessible grade without some major grading on that trail.
I think for that, we know we're going to have to, when it comes to actual planning of that, we're going to
Well, again, sort of as these people have said, it's a matter of, is it feasible to begin with? Because if you put it on there, it's going to happen. Where is that accessible?
Well, I'll say we will, if it's on the plan here, then yes, that is part of the master plan. However, if you come to design and it turns out to be infeasible, then we're not going to help and change everything. We'll just have to adjust and have to, and it will be communicated to the public in our public meeting and design, and we'll have to have two public meetings.
Or identify alternative paths for accessible trails.
Exactly.
Another concern, major concern, regards the camping. I just don't understand why you want to encourage camping there. There are already places where people sleep over, they make fires, they're making a mess. I think that's a really serious issue. I'm really opposed to any idea of camping. The third one is to say, I think you've heard that it may be really important for you to reconsider whether piers are feasible where they can be located.
Thank you for that. And when I thought we had to go for the camping parks, I think we're talking about that. We're talking about group camping and then planned camping and everything, not just group camping.
But if it's there, people are going to use it. Teenagers, kids, anybody around be able to use it.
So this is the draft master plan we presented. So concept A and B were our first drafts that we brought to the stakeholder group and to discuss what options they liked and didn't like. And then we took to the public to get everyone else's input, and then they brought it to us, Claire and her team, and that's where they developed concept C and what was liked, what they was not liked, and then to concept C. So it's still a draft master plan. It's not final. That's why we're here presenting to you tonight to see what you like and what you don't like as well.
And is the stakeholder group still in place?
Yes. So a stakeholder group.
So the discussion of what will actually go into this part and what will not is still in the discussion phase.
So we don't have any more stakeholder meetings with the stakeholder group at this point, but we have this meeting, and we're trying to take all the comments from everyone here and everyone who couldn't make it tonight to make the draft master plan with adjustments as needed, and then the final master plan.
Smith came to the entrance of the Sabbath River, the rooftop of the Sabbath River. He saw land that looked exactly like Sabbath River Park. Nowhere else on the Sabbath River except Thomas Point. What you're talking about is destroying that. Are you sure you want to do that? You're talking about having overflow parking. Are we in trouble or what? Before you even begin, your master plan is flawed and needs to stop until you think about what do you want to achieve in this land. Hang on, I haven't finished. You have not talked about any assessment of the archaeological significance of that park. You have not done an environmental impact evaluation. You have no idea what critters there are in there. I bet there are critters in there you didn't even think existed. I can pretty much guarantee that. Now, on the other hand, absolutely, we've got to think in terms of access. But in terms of access to what? There are plenty of places to have access to recreation. What we need is access to thought about what the significance of this land is, what it can do to us, what we are doing to it. It will not exist, possibly, in 100 years' time when sea levels are 3 to 6 feet higher. That land, this area, is 5,000 years old, that's all. It hasn't been here for millions of years. This is a dynamic land. Have you evaluated invasive species yet? Have you evaluated whether that greenhouse can be used for increasing the number of native species? You are going too far, too fast. And with sincere respect, I know the quality of what you all do, the thinking that you do, the planning. You have enormous resources, but you are in effect a hammer, and you're viewing that park as a nail. We're going to create a standard park there. Are you sure you want to do
that? Thank you for your comment. I will say the current master plan in place now is much more impactful than this one is here. Part of one of our main goals was to dial that back, and that is what we're going for.
But look at your plan. It's right there.
Yes. Look at it many times. You compare it to the current.
The National Park Service creates national recreation areas where we can sit around and make meat in our speedboat. And it also creates areas where wildlife refuges are easy to create and to break up to their left alone. Which one do you want to create? You guys have already decided it's a fun playground.
Thank you for your comment. Everybody on the floor, we are actually out of time. But I do want to say, this master plan, the draft master plan, and the presentation will be posted online. That website right there, all the hyphens, that's where you go, or the email address there, that is where you send all your comments. We highly encourage everybody to view the master plan, the draft master plan, PowerPoint, and we'll get to take a deep, closer look at it. And please tell us all your comments that you have about it.
Did you take notes on
what
you all said? Are you recording this?
We are on our new recordings. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight and expressing your interest in the project. I look forward to getting your feedback.